I was just talking about how I've been watching the Below Deck channel on Peacock. It's been on like constantly and in like it has been my lifesaver. So in all like, okay, like to be serious, like or get real, like I'm going through this MS flare right now. Right. And it's really bad. Like it's like affected my whole leg. My leg doesn't work. It doesn't leg. I can't, you know, walk. It's a whole thing. I've got all these muscle problems. I got these pain problems, although the pain is considerably less with Lexi's interventions. So it's been really bad, and it's caught, you know, there's a lot of, you know, like I'm dealing with a lot of emotional stuff too, because it's like I'm going down to see my kid and at college this weekend, and I can't run a 5K with him because obviously I could barely even walk, and you know, it's just like there's a lot. It's emotionally, it's been really, really fucking hard. And so the Below Deck channel has proven to be the exact right, perfect, like, level of intellectual stimulation that I can handle. Like, I can't handle anything too serious because I'm so emotional about everything else. Like, everything sets me off, right? Like, you know, the wrong ASPCA commercial is going to set me off. I'm going to start bawling and stuff. And like, there's like, I just listened to some podcasts while I was in the bath, and cause that's where I listen to like my audiobooks and stuff, but having like Below Deck is like, I can't watch the news. I can't watch anything that I really need to focus on because my brain's not really all there. And so Below Deck has proven to be exactly what I need. And it's like the Below Deck channel on Peacock is great because it's, I mean, okay, so I can go watch any episode I want. I've seen all the seasons 1,000 times. I have it on demand. I can go and watch it. So if I felt like, oh, I need to go watch this season, I can go put that one on. But the thing about the channel on Peacock is that it's like roulette. It's like, what Below Deck am I gonna get? You know, you don't know which one it's gonna be on.
That sounds fun.
So yeah, so like right now they're showing season 4 of Regular, which is the season with Emily, Ben and Emily. So Ben's the chef, Kate's the chief stew, Kelly's the bosun, Emily's the English rose that Ben falls in love with. This is the season that Kate turns lesbian and has the lesbian girlfriend Ro. So it's that season. So that's the one that happens to be on now. And what I love is they show the reunion shows too. Like if they're showing the whole season, you'll get the reunion show too and go on. So that's what I've been, that's been my, I swear to God, it's been my saving grace because it helps keep like my mind out of like, cause it's just been really, really fucking hard. There's been a lot of tears, probably not as many tears as need to happen, honestly. I've been borderline tears because I've been really trying to, honestly, I've been trying to ignore it and just like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. I've been trying to minimize it. And it's not helping. It's not helping the situation. So, yeah, anyway. So that's what's going on in this neck of the woods over here.
I've been in an MCAS flare for the last like 3 days too. So I don't know if it's like the eclipse or the change in weather or like, I don't know what, but yeah, I'm also in a flare.
So what does that look like for you?
So my MCAS flares may look different than other MCAS flares because the fun fact is that mast cells are part of the immune system and are in all our bodies, all over in all the systems. And so it affects people differently. For me, a lot of mine is GI stuff because for some reason my mast cells and my GI tract just like to freak out a lot.
Okay.
And so for me, it's just been a lot of like stomach pain and stomach cramps when eating or just randomly. Like I finished a spiritual direction session today and like my stomach just started cramping randomly. And I was like, that's funsies. Fun. Yeah, yeah, just for fun.
Yeah.
And so it's just been frustrating because I'm like, I have to eat to live and then I'll eat and then my stomach hurts. And I'm like, oh, it shouldn't hurt when you're doing something that you need to keep yourself alive. But and I just feel like weak and like not good and like
tired and kind of overall icky and just
Like fatigue and so Sometimes it's worse than others. That's what I'm having right now. But
I'm so sorry for you guys. I really am.
Well, I need to come down and get acupuncture from you.
You do. And I will say that yesterday everyone showed up in the clinic with weird symptoms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Eclipse day. Oh, we wanted to talk about the eclipse anyway.
Yeah. Like head pressure, headaches, sleep disruption. Anger was a huge one, and I felt that in the last few days, like really angry. Sure, like
interesting.
But people were coming in like, I'm just so irritable, and it happened with 5 people yesterday, and then what? I had a couple people today that were like, I feel better after the eclipse. It was very interesting. Like I feel calmer. I feel like I slept good last night for the first time in a week or whatever. It was weird. Like, I don't ever have sleep issues, but well, I have
lunar. We know that the lunar cycles and stuff like affect us physically. Like, we know this affects the tides, it affects our moon cycle or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Well, we're 80% water. So, like, if it's affecting tides, it's probably going to affect us a little bit, right? I don't know.
Right.
There are people who don't believe it, but I've. Seen too much now. I've just seen too much.
Well, no, those are the same people who won't believe that there's the ghosty spirits that touched me during acupuncture a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened.
Yep.
Alrighty.
Yeah. It was really kind of interesting. It was all positive. It was all a very positive experience. And I think that the spirit was actually connected to Lexi.
So like ancestors type thing,
like,
or?
I think his spirit guide, it had to do with my treatment, the treatment that she was giving me at the time, or treatment in general. And it, the message that I got was that this is right. This is the right thing. You're doing the right thing. Mm. Like confirming that Lexi's treatment of me was the right way, like confirming her instincts or whatever, you know.
I want to throw in there that we were not in a garage. We were not in a garage, correct. We were in a clinic.
It wasn't a magic garage.
Thank you for clarifying.
We were in the wood room, yeah?
Yes.
Just even though the water room should be my room, we end up in the wood room is where this happened.
Mm.
All their rooms are based on the elements, obviously.
Right.
I will say I had a patient who had an experience in the earth room too, where he was touched. So.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So maybe it is why we have a flare up is the eclipse. Maybe.
Chaos. Well, I know that mine probably started because of the trial that I did last fall. It would be perfectly within that province because it was the last trial I did back in 2017. Was the impetus, the stress of that trial is what brought on the exacerbation that diagnosed my MS. So it would not surprise me at all that this trial that I had this last fall would have been the impetus for like the stress of it bringing something on, although that has been over for a while. Like, and I say that because the part of the leg hip pain stuff I associate a lot with when I was up in Buffalo, because I had to do a lot of walking up there, and all of the walking is what causes all the pain. So we can manage the pain. The pain gets treated. Lexi can get rid of the pain. But once I start using my leg again, what part of my leg is still working? Because half my leg is just not legging. It's just not working.
It's not legging.
It's just not legging.
How dare you not leg? Sorry.
I know. That's just what's happening though. So only like part of it is working. Like my big toe and the second toe, like follow that line up. That's the only part that works on that leg. So we can get rid of the pain, but then walking and using it to the extent that I can use it, because it's also very weak, causes more pain. But the reduction of the pain also exposes the weakness more. So once we've been able to get the pain under control for the first time, like it was like a month ago, finally started to get a pain under control. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I can sit and walk a little bit more normally. That's when I started noticing a lot more of the weakness and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's apparently pretty typical of this MS spasticity, sort of the course of it, of how it works and how people, you know, deal with it. Because much like your stuff, Becca, there's no, you know, no two MSers are alike, right?
Right.
And one thing that I learned that was really interesting, and this is, I think, you know, true of pretty much any autoimmune disorder, is that, like, for me, my cells can't, some of my cells can't transmit the signals that need to be transmitted because of the eating away of the myelin or whatever. So the rest of the cells work extra hard to go around it and to compensate for it. So that contributes to the body fatigue and things that we feel like there's already a fatigue component of MS. And I know of your disease as well. And then it's like, on top of that, there's even more because of what your body's trying to do. And then your body gets all jacked up because since I can't really use certain parts of my leg, everything else in my body compensates to try to be able to walk and move and things like that. And that causes all kinds of jacked up things. That's why I'm in the chiropractor's office, you know? So I transfer between the chiropractor, Lexi's acupuncture table, and a massage table.
And I was screaming yay as you were saying all the things that were going on wrong with your body. And I'm so sorry. I was screaming yay, yay, as you were like, my leg can't move my leg. I was like, yay, yay. I'm like, thanks, oh my God, Kaya. I'm sorry.
I appreciate that, Kaya.
I have my headphones and I just want to apologize to anyone listening. My daughter is not a mean spirited person.
No, and she loves me. Anyway, so that's what I've been dealing with. And, you know, it's so for anyone out there that's dealing with autoimmune disorders or any other chronic disease or anything, I mean, any, but it's like, I get it. I see you. I hear you. I feel you. And it's okay to be not okay.
And rest. Mm-hmm. It's okay to rest. Our consumer society tries to convince us that's not okay because our worth is only what we produce, but that's not true. So yes. Please rest. Ooh,
please
your
tell
body
us
when
more.
You need. It's not like I write about minimalism or anything, but
I know, right? You just posted a new one that's like right exactly along like what I'm trying to work on right now, which you're talking about, like the is it the, well, I'll let you talk about it. I'll let you.
Oh, the one about desires and marketing and advertising.
The marketing one? And advertising and how it like, oh, you see this advertised to you and all of a sudden you like have to have it. Like that's me. That was me for so long. Once I finally realized that I was doing that, the realization was like, oh, okay, I get it. Maybe I don't really, okay, you know. So, yeah.
Well, and what's interesting about that, right, is like we assume because we see ads so much that we can just like tune them out. But what we don't realize is like advertising has changed over time. So like it used to be back in the day, right, that like when advertising, anyway, I could go on this forever, but like advertising used to be about products and like what they did versus now where advertising is specifically geared to show us how this product will appeal to our base desires. So like love, connection, belonging, family, those kinds of things. And so it's even harder for us to not want to buy the product because it's like connecting to those things that is natural for us to want. Right? Like it's not
so
bad
insidious,
to want. Right.
But like some of those products are like game changers. Some of them are really good.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying that like all products are bad, right? And so like in my blog post on Christian minimalism, I was talking about how like you know, it's not bad for us to want those things, right? It's natural to want belonging and love and family and human connection. But what we have to be aware of is that like advertising is specifically trying to manipulate that to sell us things.
That's yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, like, so I just watched The Social Dilemma. Last weekend I watched it with my stepdaughter and it was like, you know, several years old, but so it's like outdated a lot probably, but it goes to a lot of all of that stuff, right? Like how manipulative this stuff is to get your attention and to get you engaged and to do all that kind of stuff.
Right. And like buying products isn't evil, right? Like sometimes
right.
you need
it's
to buy
not inherently
things,
evil
right, but like oftentimes they're selling things that we don't necessarily need, or even want
right.
sometimes, but we watch it and we're like, oh, that'll make us beautiful. So people will love us. Right.
That'll make me more efficient and a better worker.
And... yeah. And then I can be more productive and, you mm-hmm. know, make more for the capitalist machine.
Right.
But yeah. So that was an interesting piece to write, because I had to do a lot of research on like what advertising has been over time. And then I also had to do research on like some specific examples of how companies have used desires in marketing and advertising. So that, it was actually kind of fascinating. Because yeah.
Fascinating. Now let's go back a step and talk about the eclipse again. So yesterday, as we're recording this, the eclipse was Monday yesterday. So depending on where you were at in the country, I think, Becca, you were, of all of us, you were the closest to totality. We had like 80, I had like 87% where I'm at. Lexi probably was very similar. And I don't know what you were at up there.
We were at 98.2%.
Damn.
Yeah.
So you guys did the whole thing and were out there.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. I will say it was interesting because like even people who are where I am, where it's like super close to the Adirondacks, still like made the trek up north to be in totality. And like obviously totality, it's different. Like even though we were at 98.2 and it got dark, but it wasn't completely dark. Right. Like it wasn't like nighttime dark. It was like dusk dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was still really weird. Like you're watching it and all of a sudden like it gets colder and it's just like getting darker. You're like, whoo, this is creepy, you know, and then it's done. But I have friends that like, you know, drove an hour or so
farther north. Yeah. Went up to Buffalo, actually, or Erie, Niagara for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like my friend in Rochester posted a video of it and it was crazy. Like it was full on night. So like I could totally see where like people in the past, if you didn't know what was happening, would be like, the world is ending, you know.
Speaking of the world ending, let's talk about the Bible and eclipses, because that has been apparently a thing. I didn't know this, but... today I learned as Lexi was asking questions, and
I had to ask because I saw it online. Just people talking about the eclipse and what the Bible says about it, and I was like I'm gonna go to the religious expert.
So everyone's like, oh yeah, the Bible talks about an eclipse. I'm like, well, kind of, sort of. So it's in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. It says, and so this is like John of Patmos talking, the dude who wrote Revelation. He says, "And I beheld when I had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood."
So what does that mean? Translate that for us.
So... okay, so here's the thing about the book of Revelation. It was all very symbolic for the people at the time who were reading it, right? Like they would have read it and been like, oh, that makes sense because blah, 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 blah. We don't have that context. And so a lot of the symbolism is just completely lost on us. So people take things that like were symbolic for people in that time and place and make them into like literal things for today, which was not what the original intention was. Also, this whole thing is like a big vision that like John of Patmos has. And so it's literally like someone is tripping. Like, not literally. It probably didn't take drugs.
He's having hallucinations.
Right. But it's like trying to make sense of someone's like dream vision.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So like the book of Revelation is just like super fascinating. The whole point is like to give hope to people who are dealing with crap, right?
Okay.
Like, and so like if you look at the overarching thing, you're like, cool, but then you like, if you get too micro-y into it, you get this kind of thing where people are like, there was an earthquake and now there's an eclipse, and that
right.
means like,
that's the thing, there was this earthquake in New York and then there was the eclipse, and like,
right,
what, oh my god, so what's gonna happen next? Is it the rapture next? Are people just gonna suddenly be yeeted out of Earth? Like what's gonna happen next?
So the you're gonna get me into all these apocalyptic things. So
do we need to start Mormon doomsday prepping? Like I just need to know.
Speaking of, I mean, Chad Daybell's on, they seated a jury in his trial, so Yeah. Anyway.
Interesting. Yeah, I totally didn't know that was a Mormon thing until recently, where people were like, oh, I was canning. And I was like, what? And it's like, that's like yeah. a thing Mormons do. I did not know that. I know a lot of stuff about Mormons. That wasn't one of them. But what's but like, here's the thing is like, John of Patmos didn't live in America. And so like the earthquake happened on the East Coast here. And then like the Path of Totality was in America. So like clearly John of Patmos isn't talking about the earthquake and the eclipse here in 2024.
Yeah, I always think it's really fascinating because the doomsday or whatever, they're all like, oh, the world's going to end on this day or whatever. And then when the world doesn't end, then they have to like change the goalpost, right? They have to move the goalpost about what the next thing is that.
Well, and like the thing whatever. Is, Jesus literally says, like, you will not know the day or time. Like, that's a direct quote. So like, it's so weird to me that people like spend so much time like trying to figure out, because he's literally like, you're not going to know. he says that. So whatever.
Do you remember Y2K prepping?
Oh, that my reminds gosh. Me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some
yeah,
of
yeah.
our listeners may not even have been alive. Have
been born
right? Right. Oh, I was going to talk about the rapture. So what people don't realize about that whole concept is that like it came up from like some random like dude who wrote a note in the margin of his Bible in like the 1800s.
The rapture?
Yeah, like it's
as sort a concept
of, yes. So it was I swear, so it was sort of based on like a Bible verse in I think 2 Thessalonians, where it's like you know, we'll meet Jesus up in the air or something. And he took that and like made this whole concept of the rapture, which is not really what it's saying at all. And like people took that and like decided this was a thing, based on some dude's random note in the margins of his Bible.
So basically in a lot right. of my textbooks, I took random notes and margins, and there's people out there that are going to take my notes and be like, wow, this girl's a genius. Look at her notes in the
Look
column.
Look at what they said back in
totally. The... Like, isn't that wild? It's just yeah. so wild that, like, someone took, like, this dude's notes. And, like, it wasn't just some random dude. Like, it was someone, like, someone who studied theology. It wasn't just, like, some random person off the street. But, like, it's still weird that someone took, like, a random note in his that he wrote in the margins of his Bible as, like, literal biblical fact.
Like, the rapture. Just gonna yeet everybody out of existence. Okay.
Anyway,
we didn't get a lot of theology in this episode.
Garrick and Did Daniel we? Talked a lot about
we got
God
a lot of
and
Portuguese.
Then, and we got a lot of Portuguese that sounded like
Ish.
Something. And then we also had a lot about the Quran, which is interesting.
Right. Okay. That's right.
So we had a little bit.
Okay, so I fast forwarded through them because they bored me. So you guys are going to have to talk about them. So we're talking about seeking to survive. Told you all, I'm having a day. I've been there's only so much that I can handle.
I get it. Your leg isn't legging. You have to like.
I couldn't handle the Salehis. I mean, it's like the fourth episode in a row of the three, the two of them talking about why they want to do polygamy, and the grandma saying no, or mom or whatever saying that's gross and germy.
Yeah, it's boring.
Like, that's all we're getting. Like
that's the only stuff we're getting about them.
So I don't care about them anymore.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it. It is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
So we're doing Seeking Sister Wives, Season 5, Episode 6.
Yep, Seeking Commitment. Mm-hmm. Previously on the last episode, we see Sarah meeting Shane, or open to meeting Shane. She's talking about how she's open to meeting Shane while she's dating Ashley. Keisha ghosts Naeem and Nyla. Garrick lies about how his dating app situation on his phone to Natalia and Danielle. And Becky and Justin just decide to show up to their girlfriend Stephanie's house when she told them to stay away.
That always ends well, right?
Right.
Yes. It sounds like the perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Oh, perfect ending.
So then the episode starts off with Shane and Ashley going to meet Sarah. And it's Ashley's second date with her, but it's Shane's first time meeting her. And they're going to go play mini golf.
Today's episode of Seeking Wife.
Right. Well, what gets me is like when they're interviewing Sarah and she's like, yeah, he's like an average guy, like a dad. Oh my God.
That made me laugh so hard.
It's just like, okay, that's probably a good thing compared to like Garrick or Nick, who look like.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he does seem rather bland, but not bad. Like, he's fine for somebody else. I just prefer a little more salt and pepper within and spices on my food, but he seems perfectly fine.
You like him spicy? Is that what you're saying?
A little bit. I like him a little bit more spicy. But not saying that he's wrong necessarily. Right. I mean, there's somebody out there who doesn't have the palate for the stuff I put in my mouth.
I don't know where this metaphor is going.
I'm just going to shut up now.
We find out Sarah has a son who's 8 years old, and Sarah herself is only 28, which I was kind of surprised about, to be honest. I was like, okay.
Is that younger than you thought she was?
I thought she was way older.
Oh, really? Honest.
And not like, I don't know. She just, I don't know. What do I know? Yeah, but then I'm also thinking, like, the couple themselves, I don't remember how old Shane and Ashley are.
I think
mid-30s.
I think young 30s, probably. I mean, they go out, they're professional axe throwers, like, and beer pong, like, competitions. Like, they can't be any older than, like, 32.
Oh, man.
Well, I've Shane, axe thrown in my, I can't like lift my arm for days. And I'm turning 40.
Never tried it.
Oh, you've never been, Katrina?
I've never been.
It's so fun. You'll just be fun. Really sore.
Well, I have, that's my right shoulder is my bionic shoulder.
So. Oh, then don't axe throw.
So maybe, because that's my fake shoulder. So I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
I'm glad it wasn't around when I was still drinking, because I feel like me drinking around axe throwing is just not something that sounds like it would be safe combination.
Well, that's the thing, like, bars do axe throwing, and I'm like, this is not safe. Like, I only go to the axe throwing places that are just axe throwing.
Right, there's no alcohol around.
Right, there's no alcohol involved.
There's anyway. One right by the campus in Virginia Tech, and because I've driven by it 1,000 times, and I'm like, No, I'm not going there.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Drunk college kids.
It's funny that because on my memories on Facebook, it actually came up, the axe throwing that my friend group and I did a few years ago came up today.
Oh, really?
My memories. So I was like, oh, interesting.
It's fun. And if you have someone to like coach you, usually the places have a coach that's like with you and doing it.
I think it's like a liability thing, because our group had one guy and we were all drinking and he was making sure we didn't put the axes down wrong or, you know, fling them around.
Yeah, yes, it's like archery where they have very specific rules about like when you throw and where you put them when you're done. And like, yeah,
that, for safety. No, that just sounds dangerous to me. So, Not a good place for Katrina.
We'll take that in mind for when we take you out for your milestone birthday.
Exactly. Okay, okay. We'll take you out to mini golf with a third wheel just to make it awkward.
One of us will just flirt with women. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
We find out more about Sarah, too. We find out that she has gone out on dates with couples before, and it was never really serious. More of like a friends with benefits dating situation. And Shane said that was a red flag. What do you guys think?
He's so full of shit for all the reasons that Sarah says. He's full of shit. Like, just because that's what's happened in the past, you didn't ask me what I'm looking for. Or, I mean, how is that representative of what I'm looking for? No. Maybe I'm looking for something and I haven't gotten it yet. That's why I'm here with you, you motherfucker, dumbass.
Well, and also, like, it would have been like she was screwed if she did or screwed if she didn't. Because if she had, like, been in a, like, more similar situation of, like, a committed couple, third person coming in, like, then he would have been like, well, why didn't that one work out? I think that's a red flag because that didn't work out, right? Exactly. So, like, I feel like he was just looking for stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
I agree.
Shane and what's her name?
Ashley.
Ashley, the doctor. They don't seem like they're good together. Like, they don't seem like
Ashley does not. I don't think Ashley likes men
at all.
I'm not convinced that she likes men at all.
Once she realized that she liked women, you think she realized she actually doesn't like men at all?
Yes. Huh. I think that this is just an excuse for her to.
she's talking to Kaya right now.
She stops mid.
She stopped in the middle of a sentence.
Oh, Kaya had to go.
She's still going.
I don't even know what I was saying, but
you were saying no, you think this is just in her and giving her an excuse to.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think
she gets her kids out of it. She gets kids.
Yeah, and I also think she's, I know I've mentioned this before, but I do think she's a terrible psychiatrist because her questioning was terrible. I'm like, okay, isn't your job to question people and dive into their...
Should you be able to read people better than this?
Right, and she's like, I'm like, wait, what's going on?
She's back to talking to Kaya. We'll keep going.
Yes, just pick up for her. Your thoughts on that, Becca.
I'm not convinced of that. Like, I think she's just trying to, like, merge two parts of her, and she doesn't know how to do that yet.
Right.
Like, because, like, our society has no idea what to do about bisexuality in general. So she has, like, no model for that, for, like, healthy bisexuality.
She said she grew up in a conservative religious or whatever, so she couldn't explore it. It wasn't on the table.
Right. So I wonder if it's more that versus her realizing like she's like actually gay versus like she's just trying to figure out a way to be bisexual and like doesn't know how to do that yet. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, there could be there. It sounds like, I mean, yeah, I think I tend to agree with that, although I wouldn't rule out Lexi's theory either.
Well, I think she's just suppressed her feelings her whole life because of the conservative church, maybe.
Yeah.
Then now it's like, oh, wait, this is how I really am. But oh, I'm stuck. I'm a little trapped.
I'm married.
I'm married and I'm pregnant.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Interesting.
But this way, if she does it this way, she can have both. She can have the family, you know, because, I mean, not that she couldn't have a family with another female, but in her world, this is the easiest, right? She's already sleeping with a man. There's already penis and vagina, you know.
There's always Jesus.
Wait, Jesus, is that Jesus. How you make a baby? I wasn't sure.
Only if it's Jesus jizz.
Only if it's Jesus
jizz. Only if Jesus himself sanctions it.
Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't be surprised though if she meets a female and falls in love and really falls in love, kind of like how Cody fell in love with Robin. And then it's game over. Then she's out. She's divorcing Shane. And
I think if that happened, it wouldn't necessarily be because she's bisexual and that person's a female. I think it would be because he's just kind of a bland kind of tool. He's kind of a cardboard box. Like, there's just nothing to him, you know?
I think he's nice.
Find somebody that she connects with more, that's a little bit more
that has a vagina. Has a vagina.
And has a vagina.
I think also, like, Shane isn't getting a great edit either. Like, I've been like watching, and like there's other times where you can almost see like he's passionate about stuff, like when he talks about like axe throwing or like the fact that they're or like they're having another kid, like the couple times they've talked about that. And so like I think he's like actually a pretty like chill dude, but all we're seeing is like all his insecurities around his previous relationship where a woman left him for another woman come out,
and now he thinks his penis has the power.
And I don't think Ashley has much personality so far from what we've seen. She doesn't do well on the camera. She's not, either she's not comfortable with filming, I mentioned that before, or she just doesn't have much personality for this, but this is just not her jam.
Yeah, she's not playing on the camera very well at all.
I wonder how much is they just didn't know what like filming would be like.
Right. They're probably just different. Perfectly normal people.
Yeah.
Right?
Like I don't think
to lunch with them. They're perfectly normal, fine, charismatic, normal people, but they're just not ones who adapted very well to the cameras being in front of them, which doesn't necessarily say anything bad about them. Like, you know.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, I'll just say it, like having a camera in your face and people asking you questions for hours is weird.
Right. I mean, I would imagine.
I feel like they try to tear you down and make you lose all of your energy to where you're mentally exhausted, so then they can get whatever they want out of you at the end
of
the filming.
It's like the same tactics they use to get a confession.
Pretty much.
I think also too, like, it's just they just ask so many questions about all these things that happened, and so like sometimes you don't even remember details. And so they'll be like, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, I don't remember. And they're like, no, you remember. And I'm like, I don't.
I don't actually.
Like that happened 3 days ago. Like, I have no idea. A lot of stuff has happened since then. Like, I don't.
Yeah, no.
Anyway. So I think part of it too is just like you're overwhelmed by the amount of things that are happening while there's cameras in your faces. And so like, I think you're right. I think they just like aren't adjusting well to being filmed while they're going through this journey.
Right. Which, like you said, doesn't necessarily mean say anything bad about them. Okay. So did we get anything else from them this episode?
I mean, not really. Not really, no.
Okay. And we didn't get the Davises at all this episode. But,
but we're going to get them a lot next episode, apparently. So,
because they're going to go date again, because it's been a week and a half. So it's time to date.
They gave Danielle.
Has anything changed? How about now?
They gave her 48 hours to recover from moving back in, and then they're ready to.
As soon as she put her plants back, they were like, all right, let's do this.
All right, how about now? Are you ready now? Are you ready now? How about now? What about now? Are you there? Are we there yet? So that's the Davises. So then
we're on the Merrifields.
Oh gosh. Okay.
The what? Are we going to the
Merrifields?
Okay. Garrick.
God help us.
Okay.
Pray for. So okay. Where do I even begin with these fools? So we see Danielle giving Natalia a necklace to let her know how committed she is to her. And she's like, Garrick,
do you
want to
be my sister?
Yeah, do you want to be my sister?
That was meanwhile, such a weird way to ask, too. Like,
but she called, that's how she called Bert, right? They always called, she called her sister.
And
you see Garrick referring to them, you know, to it as sister, to Danielle as sister. Right. And not the sister, a sister, which is just sister.
But meanwhile, she's telling producers, she's like, I don't know if this is right. But then she's like, I'll be my sister.
I know. And then she's like super excited when they're getting engaged. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, she's like, green card. Her mom's standing there going, green card, green card. Green
you, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yes. But can
the
we
mom
talk
was
about-
totally fine with it.
Yeah,
of course
she
was.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Can we talk about what the necklace looked like? Because I think it looked like a vagina turned sideways.
I think it looked like an evil eye, but not an evil eye. You know, like the blue evil eye like design. I think it was like a sideways one of those, but it was red instead of blue, and therefore is a serial killer eye.
And I think it was the made of the trophies of all of the past wives that their sister girlfriends that they've dated. Like put the lotion in the basket. Like, I don't know what it's made out of, but I'm telling you, it's some sort of
cereal from Alibaba.
Cereal, like maybe it's like made from the bones of the past wives.
It also makes me wonder, like, who helped with the design? Like, you know, he didn't draw that.
God so helped like, him.
No, Becca. He did, though.
God helped him. God spoke to him, and that's what came out.
Didn't he say that? That God helped him design it or whatever?
On the mountaintop of wherever he was, yeah, God said to him, Rose, something
so
rose.
So we have a new place that God has spoken to him. We've had a garage. We've had, I think they were in a garden at some point. Now we've got a mountaintop. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of God speaking.
The mountaintop was what he said. What was said on the mountaintop? About the rose, that
it was about her meeting a future wife.
And it was, they were going to meet a sweet rose, yes. And that it, there was going to bring peace and healing to the family.
Convenient. That's convenient, yeah. For him.
Yeah. Or like it could just be a real rose. He should have just bought a real rose and then put it in a vase, and then it would have brought peace and healing.
Would have done the same thing.
I want to know what kind of drugs he was on in the mountain. We know it was like maybe carbon monoxide poisoning in the garage with the car running, but what was he taking on the mountain to make him hallucinate? Well,
what's up on the mountain? What grows up there? Are there poppies up there?
Was it lack of oxygen due to elevation?
Is he snorting poppies there? Is he getting opiates? Like, what's happening?
So, like, biblically, a lot of, like, God speaks on mountaintops a lot. Like, that's a constant theme.
Why?
My guess is because people feel like they're closer to God.
Is there no interference between you and the radio tower? Like, at the satellite? Like, you know, when you have DirecTV, you got to adjust your satellite.
Sure. I don't know. It's
just like that. It's a clear signal.
No,
to
but
God.
A lot of people do that in just spiritual enlightenment and awakening. Totally. Going into the woods and going into nature.
I think nature. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, all jokes aside, nature is very.
Totally. But I think the mountaintop is very much a very specific theme.
So do people like Garrick go to mountaintop specifically to talk to God? Like, why is he on the mountaintop?
I mean, so it's not like a wise dude on top of a mountaintop with a beard situation.
Garrick's not a wise dude.
No, I'm talking about God, right? Like the like stereotypical thing of like people like hiking up a mountain to talk to like the wise dude with the beard. No,
yeah.
That's like a thing. But like it's more just like I think it's partly like being closer to God, but then also like this idea of like being away from distractions. So that's why like the desert mothers and fathers went out to the desert and like did that, because they wanted to be away from like worldly distractions. That so they could sense. Like,
okay,
hang with
I can
God,
buy
right?
that. I can buy that.
But like, for example, like there's multiple things, right? Like Moses got the Ten Commandments on the mountain. On Mount Sinai, and then like Jesus is transfigured or like changed in front of the inner circle, the disciples, like showing who he is, right? Like, so there's multiple situations of like things happening on mountaintops, so he's playing on that.
Okay.
So for like if you speak Bible code,
you speak Bible code. Yeah, that's what you're deciphering it for us.
I feel like I've done Garrick's every on episode for Garrick.
he gets a carrier pigeon coming in with a message from God saying, "You're gonna get a rose." So he interprets that to mean, "Oh, it's this Brazilian chick I want to bang. That's my rose. Perfect." Like, okay, if that's his connection, that's his discernment of this message.
Right. And so that's the thing. Like, yes, God speaks to us. I am not saying that's not true. But then there's like a discernment process of like figuring out what that means. And so his interpretations are just very interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
It looks like the lights are on, but nobody's home. Every time I see
he's dead behind the eyes. He really is. He's like, there's like nothing there. Like, I'm half expecting like his head to open and just like a little man robot like operating behind his head, because there's nothing there. He's just dead. Anyway, please continue with our scene.
Yeah. So I feel like we should just go by couple rather than going back and forth, because this was such a pointless episode.
You're finally understanding that? You're finally getting that?
Oh, no, I said that 2 hours ago. I was like, this is stupid. This episode is dumb. This whole thing is dumb. I'm wasting my time here.
Well, not we are with you halfway through this series, so, like, usually the middle is not the best
right,
part.
Well, judging by the commercials for the rest of the season, it looks like it's going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But can we talk about, okay, so then finally she accepts the whatever necklace, the pussy necklace, the vagina necklace. Excuse me.
So it can be filled with Jesus jizz.
Yeah.
Later that night. Oh, my God, it can be filled with Jesus jizz. Literally.
No. Yes. God, I'm going to throw up now.
Brain bleeds like bitch.
Well, Garrick is trying to speak Portuguese to her later on after Danielle gets her all dolled up for her engagement.
Yeah. And the we're going to ask her to be our wife.
Right. Whatever. And your clips of him speaking Portuguese are priceless. Absolutely priceless.
He's practicing in Portuguese how to say, will you marry me? Or marry us. And I'm like, shouldn't you have that line down by now, at least? Because you've done it a few times in Portuguese.
It's not that hard. I mean, Portuguese, to learn like five sentences in another language, just to memorize. Memorize five sentences or whatever. Three sentences.
I feel like given Bert, the length of time he was with Bert and I'm sure there are other women in between Bert and this one, but you think he could speak some words in Portuguese? Some, maybe love, hey, mi amor. I don't know. Maybe something like that. Sister.
I wondered about that too. Cause like you would think they would have made more of an effort to learn some Portuguese the last round. So like if they're dating someone else who's from Brazil, like you would think that they would have some, at least like basic sentences or something.
They should say, yeah, they should get Rosetta Stone and literally start learning more, because we know this one's not going to work out. So they're going to go back to their country of Brazil to find a new chick after this. Like, it's obviously an investment and a long-term investment for future sister wives to just learn Portuguese. Just saying.
I mean,
you heard it here first, friends. Learn Portuguese, get sister wives.
Listen, I speak Spanish and I understood like five things he said, and I'm like, really? Like, I don't even speak Portuguese, like, but I get a little bit of your broken English Portuguese whatever. He's like, casame. I was like, oh my god, he's trying to say, oh my god, what is he's happening,
trying to say marry me.
Yes.
Bad.
Like, I feel like you should have at least had that one at least.
Me amor.
Yeah, whatever.
I can't even do it. I can't do it. I can't even sound like him.
He's so pathetic.
Yeah, so then he goes on talking about roses again. I can't even, whatever.
I don't even know what he says. Oh, something about 11 and is good in their country.
And yeah, like some sort of, like 11 roses is like a good thing.
And she's the 12th one because God said roses. I don't
know. Yeah. And then
I had to rewind it to figure out what the hell he was talking about with the 11 and 12. And I'm like, wait, what?
Right. And nothing is sexier and more romantic than someone using a translator app to actually go through with the proposals. Well,
Lexi, will you marry me?
Well, will you marry me?
So true, though.
I'm sorry, I did not understand that.
Can you please repeat? I'm sorry. I did not understand. Like, I could just see Siri or whoever being like, I'm sorry.
Please. Oh my God.
I did not understand that. Where's the library?
Right. Well, for whatever reason, Natalia says yes, and then she says her heart is beating so fast. Her mom's like, yay. Now, her mom didn't say yay, but she sounded super excited.
Yeah, she was really excited for this. She's getting her green card.
Exactly. Well, Natalia says they have a long journey ahead of them and it won't be perfect. They're all sitting in the bedroom, which is not, it's Natalia's bedroom at the end of the night, which was like the most awkward scene. I don't know why, because Danielle was
cringe
creating it. Yeah, it was cringe.
Danielle didn't leave. Like, I was like, no.
Wait, did they change their practices and they're all going to be in the same bed together boning? Like, I mean, I know that Danielle wants her to bone her too, but that's a separate issue. Like,
Danielle should just get together with Ashley then.
Can we talk about that? Like, she tried to kiss her on the lips and Natalia was like, no.
Yes, I saw. Oh, I forgot to mention that. Yes.
Yeah.
So weird.
Like, what was happening there?
Yeah. It's because Danielle is as freaky deaky as her husband is. And there was an episode, and I can't remember which episode it was, like which season, but they were in Mexico. And there was a scene, and somebody caught a picture of this item on the bed in Danielle's room. And people are like, what is that? What is that? And somebody apparently was like, no, that's like a butthole stretcher. We're like, okay.
Cool.
Now, I cannot confirm or deny any of those. I couldn't find the picture, the screenshot if I tried, but I mean, it just gives you a little, if that is in fact true, like, okay, well, just says a little bit about some of their, you know.
And you know what?
Her desires, freakiness, which, whatever.
Her freakiness is not enough for Garrick. He will never be satisfied.
He needs five wives.
Yeah. God told him he needs to have more anal sex with other women. Just saying.
I mean, if that's your bag, that's your bag. That's fine. I got no issues with any of that. My issue is more of, I mean, it's not even an issue. It's just my point is just that it lends one to think that they have an adventurous sex life. And now that you're saying that like, okay, Danielle wasn't enough for him. Like, what did she do? What kinds of things, acts did she engage in that weren't, you know, in an effort to like please him? You know what I mean?
I'm just wondering if he's just like a sex addict that is using God to, there's just something, there's something so cringe and creepy about him.
Yeah. All he wants is, that's, I mean, Becca, what do you think?
Yeah. Like, it's so interesting to watch them because they're talking about like their faith so much more in this season. Like,
yeah.
They talked about it not at all in the last couple seasons. And then for some reason here, they've just been very like, God told us this is what we're going to do. Like, we're going to do this. And like, this is a big part of our faith and like all this stuff. And so I wonder what changed for them, like why they felt A, that they could talk about that more publicly, but B, why the more emphasis on that this season. Right. And partly I wonder, this is just me being cynical.
Justification?
Well, yeah, I think this is me being cynical, but I think after the whole thing with Bert, like, I think they sort of have to, like, find ways to justify what they're doing. And I think oftentimes, not saying that faith isn't a big part of their lives, but, like, people tend to, like, when they're feeling insecure about something that's happening in life, they tend to use God and faith and spirituality as a way to, like, justify it.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of that is.
Well, that. Given that he's, you know, insistent that, you know, that God's talked to him on mountaintops and in garages and whatnot and told him five rose wives and, you know, all of these other things, like, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, like, it seems like that's like his MO to make sure,
you know. Well, right, and his interpretation of these experiences is always like affirming what he wants to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, oh yeah, God told us that like there was going to be a sweet rose, and so that's clearly Natalia. And you're like, did God give you a picture of Natalia at that mountaintop? Like, I don't think so. So like, there's that some might disturbance not be that needs to happen.
What was meant by that, but
right, like, and I've said this before on here, but like, when you have an experience of God, like, you have to discern like what that is. Well, first of all, you have to discern that it is actually God,
right.
And then once you discern that that's the case, then you can move forward and be like, okay, like, what do I think God is telling me through this, right? And then oftentimes it's not necessarily things we want to hear, like, they don't need to be bad things, but like, they could potentially be things that like we weren't expecting to hear. Whereas every time he talks about an experience of God, it's always like affirming bringing Natalia into the fold.
Which
I think is interesting.
Yeah, he is something else. And I don't know if I'm vibing with Natalia. I feel like she's using him.
She's 100% using him.
It just is so weird. She does not seem to really click at all with them, but either one of them.
Yeah, no. I mean, how could you? When they don't speak the language, they don't have anything in common. They found her on a website. She's just trying to get a ticket.
They didn't
out
even
of
find
there.
Her on the website. She slid into his DMs
right,
or something.
Right, it was social,
which
media.
To me makes it worse because he's already been on TV. So why is she sliding into his DMs all of a sudden? You know what I mean?
Was it she? They didn't say who slid into whose, right? They
I
just
can't
said
remember.
They met on social media, right?
Somebody slid into someone's DMs. I don't remember
right.
which way though.
But we don't know.
That's how Ashley and Sarah met too. They said on social media. So that also is, I don't know, interesting.
At least like they, you know, Ashley was not on TV already, so there wasn't that
yeah.
compared
right,
to
right, yeah, right. like That's it was a more of an organic meeting. Whatever did happen there, if
right,
it was
right,
social
right.
media, it was like yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. By the way, this is neither here nor there, but I was talking to my husband, Will, about the 10 dating apps thing and how we tried to name all the like okay. 10 dating apps because we were like, oh, I don't even think we can name 10 dating apps. And we managed right. to between all of us. Will tried to and he got to 9 on his own.
Oh, wow. Oh. Impressive. OK.
I know. I was very impressed by him.
Way to keep up with the with Gen Z or whatever,
yes.
the millennials.
It's the best part.
They're dating now. Yeah.
Gen Z. Yeah. But the best part about it was remember how it took us a while to come up with like J-Date and Christian Mingle? And he came up with them almost immediately.
Oh my God. That's funny. Those are the straight ones. The ones you went are the religious based ones. We're all Grindr, Tinder.
So the best part about it though was at the end we got to 9 and he couldn't think of any more. And I was like, you forgot Grindr. And he was like, oh yeah, I did.
Sure did. Anyway. Nice. Well done, Will. Well done.
Anyway.
Oh man.
Because they kept talking about the 10 dating apps again on this
right.
episode. So anyway.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So no, I think she's completely using them and they're whatever. I don't know what I mean, they're using her to get so he can get laid.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure, but his plan, I guess, is to marry her, bring her here. But then we see a preview for next week when they're got this other woman and, you know, what's her name? Danielle's magically not wearing the vagina necklace anymore. And she's having dinner. They're having dinner with this other person who's. Where's they say she's from the Middle East?
Michigan. No, she's from Michigan, but her family is
from
somewhere.
Right. But she's Muslim, and so she's like used to the idea of polygamy.
Yeah.
So it's not like a weird concept
yeah.
to her. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is gonna be interesting because, you know, oh, we're so in love with Natalia that we have to have somebody else in the meantime while we wait for her immigration paperwork because we
well,
can't.
What
wait
I don't
that
understand
long.
Is so Garrick was talking, and maybe you can elaborate on this, Becca, but Garrick was mentioned, it was talking about, you know, intimacy and how it's not necessarily the legal papers of being married, but how it's the commitment to a lifetime of love. So basically I'm like, okay, doesn't that go against your quote religious beliefs? If like that paper is meaning something and in the eyes of God in the church getting married, right? Like you're in the,
so, you have- so this is where it gets interesting. This is when I go through a whole spiel about marriage in the church. So historically, for example, I'm Lutheran. So I think about it from a Lutheran perspective. Like, so okay. in Martin Luther's time in the 1500s, right? Clergy could not marry people legally. Like that was not their role. So what they would do is they would go to city hall or whatever they called it in German and like get married in the eyes of the government, right?
Okay.
And then come to the church and like they would bless the marriage.
Okay. Okay.
And so it's interesting that over time that shifted. And now, like as a clergy person, I have the ability to do legal marriages.
Just
and
by
so
virtue of being a clergy person.
Right. Which
you
is not
have to get something extra. Yeah.
Which is not historically what has been done in
interesting.
Different
okay.
countries.
I didn't know
and
that.
So historically, like before there was like legalization of marriage, like, yeah, like if you had sex, like that was consummating a marriage. But like that's not the case now.
I hope not. Jesus.
Like, there's no one, right? Like, there's no one standing in your room making sure you're consummating your marriage.
My room, to make sure, bitch, please.
Like, it's real now, you know? So there's actual, like, weird Lutheran porn out there, basically, where, like, people were, like, watching them have sex to make sure, like, it was a legal marriage. Like, it
Lutheran
was
porn watching people having sex. What? Yeah. What? Wait, what am I listening to? What are you talking about?
So here's the thing. So, okay, so this is your weird history for today. But, like, Luther married, like, he was a, he was a monk that then ended up getting excommunicated. Not by his choice. He did not want to leave the church, but he was excommunicated at that time because of his views on things. And he married a former nun. So you've got a former monk marrying a former nun.
Okay.
And so they had to be, like, clear that this was a legal marriage. So they had people watch them consummate marriage, which is actually not that weird in the past because, like, royal couples did this a lot. As the same concept, right? Where, like, it's a real marriage. They consummated it. And so they had
They had to provide evidence of, like, the bloody sheets or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. So same concept. However, we don't do that now.
Yeah, thank you.
There's got to be some sort of, like, category on, like, some porn website about this.
I wouldn't know because I can't watch porn in Virginia. Fuck you, Glenn Youngkin.
So, like,
we were joking when I come out there on Thursday, Lexi, to Maryland. I'm like, okay, I'll download porn while I'm in Maryland and then I can have it to watch if I need it in Virginia.
There's a lot of, like, lines of, like, the Virginia Maryland borders. Like, how does that work? It's like, oh, I'm in Virginia, I'm in Maryland. What does your cell phone magically, like,
it does? It uses your location.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, so what if wild. You stand, like, you have 1 foot in Virginia and 1 foot in Maryland? Like, if you're standing over the border.
That's a whole separate category of kink on Pornhub.
Sorry. Anyway, so, but I have to talk about this because Garrett is like, oh, like, consummating means a marriage.
Go back to the Lutheran porn, please.
But, like, and so that's just a very old concept because that was what, like, made a marriage, like, official back in the day, right? Okay. Like, but that's not a thing now.
And so what did Garrick say exactly regarding this?
Yeah. Do you have the exact quote, Lexi, or?
I do not have the exact quote.
I do not either.
That's okay. He basically is like, you know, a paper celebration, that doesn't make a marriage real. What makes a marriage real is, like, sexual intimacy is basically what he says. So, like,
I was just looking at it as he was just word salading his way of why he could have sex with her tonight versus having to wait until they were actually married.
Yeah. And, like, to be fair, like, polygamy is not legal in the sense of the word. Like, you can't marry more than one person. So, like, to be fair, what he's saying isn't totally untrue because, like, they can't, well, it is.
They can't get a legal marriage. So, well, they went through this on Sister Wives, right? Like, when were they actually divorced? You know, Robin's like, oh, you're not divorced until you sleep with somebody else.
Right. Which is the old idea of, like, a marriage is only real if, like, you consummate it, right? Like, so I don't know. It's just the whole concept is very weird to me because I'm like, no one thinks like that anymore. If they do, like, they're just trying to justify other things.
Right. And that's his whole thing is he's just justifying it.
To be fair, though, Danielle did get divorced.
She
did. Like, in reality, it can be legal with Nathalia if they actually married her.
Because she got divorced so that she could do this with Bert, but marry her and bring her over under the fiancé immigration 90-day crossover here.
Totally.
Fiancé crossover.
I'm sorry, there's a spider on the wall right now, and I have to kill it.
So
okay, I got it.
Here's the thing, though. So if you were to marry, Natalia, there wouldn't be another. There would not be a third sister wife from Brazil because there couldn't be. Like, you can't divorce Natalia and do another visa process.
Another 90
right?
Day.
Like, how would that work? Yeah,
it wouldn't.
And so,
So he's only got one shot. Who's he going to use it on? It's like the old Seinfeld episode. Are they sponge worthy? Do you guys remember that episode? No. Elaine. So it was back in the day when there was the contraceptive sponge was a device you could use. And it was for those who don't know. And this is back in the day when I actually used to teach birth control. So I actually had them and whatnot. So they're like, yeah, this little sponge, and you like wet it and stick it in your cooter, and it's got spermicide and all this stuff. And it's like it acts as a barrier method / spermicidal method of birth control. Well, Elaine on Seinfeld that was her preferred method of birth control. And then she found out that they were going out of business. Like they weren't going to make them anymore. So she stocked up on the sponges, and
I didn't know this plot at all. This is hilarious.
Oh, it's awesome. It's great. And it was like, she, you know, whether she was going to sleep with someone was whether or not they were sponge worthy. Like, are you like, cause she had a limited supply. She wasn't going to waste them on just anybody. You know,
are they sponge worthy?
And so it's kind of like that.
That's are amazing.
90-day fiance worthy? You've got one shot. Like,
yeah,
you could. Which are you going to use it on Italia?
Right. And so I think he's trying to come up with this concept of like, when does it make sense to have sexual intimacy when you can't legally marry all the wives, right? Like that's mm-hmm. that's a problem in polygamy all the time. It's like,
right, that makes sense.
When is it like an actual marriage, right? So I've been watching Big Love.
Right.
And they have that situation where they're like, okay, like how do we even make this like official? And they have like this random little thing in their backyard, right? Where they're mm-hmm. like, okay, now you're married. And then everybody's like, okay, I have to go work, bye.
Right
And yeah, just all walk away, right? And so like it feels weird because it's not an official marriage in the eyes mm-hmm. of the law, kind of thing.
Right.
Anyway,
right,
so what he's saying is true, but like he's really just finagling to have sex that night.
Yeah, so the three of them are in bed, and Danielle could not look more excited that there's about to be some sex happening.
Yeah,
and
but
like bouncing around in the bed, like, oh my god, you guys, we're gonna cuddle. It's gonna cuddle because that's what they're calling this, right? We're just gonna cuddle tonight. And it's like, Danielle, get out of the bed so they can cuddle, you know, they can get their cuddle on.
Yeah, but then she goes on to say in her interview, it's like I have to detach myself. I'm looking at it as though it's my friend getting married. So she's in like the land of Delulu with her emotions, suppressing them all.
Because mm-hmm. she has to in touching. Order to fit into this religious.
Right. Which is not healthy. Nobody should have to detach from their emotions. I need everyone to listen to this because this is very important. You need to feel your emotions, live your emotions, and do not detach from them.
Yes. Amen.
100%. 100%. Do not drown them in alcohol either. That doesn't help. Trust me, they're still there 40 years later.
Also sound advice.
Yes, because it's the same thing. I mean, like we drink so we don't feel, right?
Yeah.
Guess what?
Well, and like trying to numb the emotions, whether it be through disassociation, which is what she's describing. Like she's literally describing disassociation.
Which is generally looked at as not a good thing,
right?
You're in a situation where so you're whether disassociating. You're doing it
that way or through drugs, alcohol, sex, I don't know, you name it, right? If you're trying to numb your emotions, like chances are it's not going to be healthy in the long run. So
yes,
poor Danielle, because that's not going to be a good situation for her going forward.
No, and it already isn't. You can already see how tortured she is on her face. Like you can, I mean, this whole thing has eaten her up so badly, but she's twisted herself in pretzels literally inside out to make herself okay with this, because this is what she believes she has to be okay with,
right?
And it's just oh god, it's so horrifying when you think about the level of abuse.
The Fraudcast will be right back.
And now back to the Fraudcast.
Let's see, is there anything else about Garrick and Danielle that we should discuss?
We talk about him because he's so dumb, right? He's so, literally so dumb. And he's just like, we laugh at his stupidity. But the bottom line is that they're using this religion to abuse and coerce and to force. And it's an unhealthy dynamic, and it's abusive. spiritually abusive, it's emotionally abusive, it's manipulative. There's so many things that are wrong with it on a, just an abusive level that, you know, people talk on my Instagram all the time about, well, you know, she's either just as complicit and, you know, why doesn't she leave? Why she's going to leave any day now. No, she's not. Like, why doesn't she leave? And this is, and I feel like you totally opened my eyes on this, Becca, because I was in that same camp for so long. And then when you were talking about how they, you know, they come coming from this background and likening her to like Anna Duggar, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that, that, you know, when you think about it from that perspective, that they're raised in this, this belief that this is what they have to believe in. And regardless of what she really thinks or not, she has to find ways to justify it because this is what she's told she has to do. And I think that this is just such a fascinating subject about people willing to live this way. And this is a whole not a topic, not for now, but like people choosing to live this way, which seems so tortured because that they think that's what God wants of them. And that to me is such a confusing concept because I just don't get it. And I mean, I come from a completely different background with religion, so I don't have the education and the indoctrination that a lot of these people do. So it's not like something normal for me, but that's a whole other, you know, whole other thing. But with her, I mean, if you look at her from that perspective, it makes sense about why she's there, why she stays, why she looks so tortured all the time.
Yeah. Like, okay. She's been taught that like she's supposed to follow Garrick, right? And like, if Garrick says God has told us we're going to have five wives, like as the head of the household, as the spiritual head of the household, she is supposed to agree with that and also and agree line. That yeah, and that's what God wants for them. So
right. And what's scary is she's voiced her concerns to him, and I feel like they're going to deaf ears because he's just not paying attention. But she's like, I don't think we're ready yet. You know, like, hey, slow down. And it's like, no. No, it's all on his pace, his time.
We saw that a couple episodes ago. I mean, we're seeing that, you know, with every discussion. You told her that you told her you're scared. You know, how dare you express your real feelings to this woman that we're allegedly going to marry? How dare you? You know, was basically what he said, you know. And so she's got to get with the program and get on board with it and quick. If she wants salvation from this God that seems like, I don't know why you'd want to please that God personally, if that's what your God wants from you, then wow. But that, you know, that's personal religion stuff that I can't speak on. I just don't know. I just come from such a different world on that I don't have enough to, I don't know enough to know what I don't know.
Well, and if you grew up with that, right? Like you don't know anything else. Like there's no other way that you been taught to think of God, and so that's what you're expected to do and be and think about God that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think about, like, I'm fascinated with, like, with David Koresh's cult stuff, and not fascinated in the, like, I'm gonna go down a rabbit hole on YouTube and like get indoctrinated or anything. I'm fascinated by the, like, in the way that I'm fascinated by a lot of cult stuff and just the way people react in group settings and group think versus individual think and stuff. That's why I was a sociology major in college, you know, like, yeah. You know, it's why my focus was, you know, social control and things like that. Like this is just fascinating to me. The way that the David Koresh people lived, it just seems so horrific just from a logistical standpoint. I'm like, it's hot and it's dusty and I'd be thirsty all the time. And like, it's like, that's just uncomfortable as I sit here in my air conditioned house, you know, curled up with my blankets and my heating pad, you know, with all my comforts in there. And then give up the wives so they could, all the wives can sleep with David. And like, just some of it is just so outlandish to me. And I'm like, why are they, you know, but then you get into cult behavior and cult brainwashing. And that's a whole other thing too, right?
Well, and so to bring it back to like the consumer culture thing, like we all just want love, belonging, and community. And like, that's a lot of what these new religious groups are offering people is like this love and belonging and community. that they may not be getting elsewhere. And that's why it's so hard to leave, right? So like going back to Danielle, like that's your community.
Right. Like,
and so if she were to, you know, say, this is not how I think about God, I don't, I'm not into this like lifestyle, I'm out. She could lose family, friends, everyone she knows. And then like, what are you going to do?
Right. 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 She doesn't. Yeah. She doesn't know any different. That said, you know, who does know different? The Alamo folks. And I want to make a correction, or a Alamo. Apparently, so I had thought he was in, that Tony Alamo was in prison for life. He actually died in prison in a while back. So like 2017 or something like that. I remember a 7 in the number. So anyway, so yeah, so I'm just making that correction. But let's move on to those folks.
The Ryan. So they went to see Stephanie, even though Stephanie told them not to, which, you know, consent is not being considered at all. But anyway, so they show up, and first, in the last episode, they paid her gym membership.
Yeah. So weird. Like, yeah.
Creepy. And
you
then,
better appreciate all these things we're doing for her.
Right. And so then they show up at her door. And I think my favorite part about this whole thing is they clearly just used like some producer to like read what this woman said, because they obviously, she didn't give them the permission to use her likeness or her voice. So they had to like literally recreate what she said. And it was like so interesting to hear it, because it wasn't, I'm sure it wasn't the same way she said it. So it's just like someone reading the words off a page.
But they made it like it was real.
It was like, so weird.
As if we were listening in on the conversation.
Well,
oh my
they
God.
used Becky's actual words. So yes. Like you hear Becky like getting really, really upset.
You hear
and then
Becky's
you have
half
like
of the conversation.
Right. And then the other half of the conversation is just someone reading the other person's
it's
words
like,
off the page.
It's like the producer going like, I told Justin not to come.
But you told Dustin I love you last night, and now you're with Greg.
I'm with Greg now.
It's so weird. It was just very, and I understand they had to figure something out because they didn't get her permission and like whatever, I get it, but like it's still just so weird.
Yeah, so
yeah, we find out that Stephanie's an on again off again relationship with this so-called friend Greg, which
and he wasn't on board with her being in a polygamous relationship.
Right. And I had to look this up. So like who's the guy in this couple again? I was Justin. Right. He says that Greg, right. I put that in quotes because they changed the names of the two people, right. But like, is her friend. And I was like, what is
friend
that?
With benefits.
So I looked it up. It doesn't really mean that. It just means like a very close friend. And like, it's supposed to come from like how kids talk about their friends. Like it's supposed to like be like,
oh, he's my friend.
Exactly. And I was just like,
so weird.
I didn't know that was a thing until I looked it up on Urban Dictionary.
Oh my God. Like Gen Z and all their new language. You gotta get off my lawn. Like, what is happening to me? I can't understand.
Like, I can't imagine as someone who's like going to be 40 in a couple weeks, like saying, this is my friend.
Pastor Becca, you're my friend.
Pastor Becca's my friend.
Wait for me.
The way Kaya talks, right?
No, Kaya has better enunciation than that.
I was going to say, Kaya doesn't even talk
hey,
like
Kaya,
that.
Say, can you say the word friend? Do you hear that?
No,
that was great.
Come say it in here.
Say
it
to the microphone.
Come say the word friend. You can't? Why not? Okay, she can.
Okay. I heard it. It was good.
Yeah. All right.
She said, wait, why can't you? You're shy.
Oh, no, you're not.
Aww,
okay.
Now tired. You're being shy.
You're That's just right. tired.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Kaya.
So,
do you like Cody? Like,
we get this relation. I mean, this is the scene, like what, and then I feel like I said everything I needed to say about this couple, like last time, because it triggered me so much, this lack of consent and all this stuff. But it just goes like, this whole thing is like, done obviously for TV, but if assuming that they didn't do it for TV, assuming they really decided that they had no boundaries and were just going to go drive there, even though she told them not to, assuming all of that, like, now what? Okay. You talked to her. Now you're like, did you expect closure from that? Which, by the way, closure, I think, is a stupid fucking German concept, but whatever. When it comes to relationship, you don't need another person to get closure in your relationship. It's about you, not them. Anyway, what now? What do we do with them now?
Well, I found it interesting that when the breakup happened, or when Stephanie, whatever her name is, not Stephanie, the girl, the woman, Becky, went to the door and then got back into the car. She did not tell Justin what was said until they got back to the hotel.
Right. She and was like, almost, oh, that's her mess. I'm not going to.
Right. But I almost think she did it because she didn't want a reaction from him or something. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he didn't go to the door. He was staying in the car. There was just some weird situation. She's like, well, I'll let you talk to her. And I'm like, that's interesting.
Because, and then it was she might be intimidated, remember?
Exactly. And that's why I was like, something else is going on with that. There's something more to that. That whole scenario.
It would not surprise me at all if he was violent towards her. Excuse me.
Or at the very least intimidating, right?
And he even said, he's like, if I was in my 20s, I would whoop his ass. But yeah, I'm an adult now.
Old. I'm like... Or you just realize, like, violence isn't an answer to something. I don't know.
He's willing to take a bullet for this chick, and she's banging some other dude and is ghosting them. Like, what?
What?
Love her to death.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but she got a free gym membership out of it for a year.
She's going to look real good for Greg.
Her friend.
She's gonna look real good for Greg.
Hey, Katrina, we need to make shirts that have arrows that point next to matching shirts. Hey, this is my friend.
This is my friend.
I'm with stupid. This is my friend.
This is my friend.
Oh my gosh, I want that.
Oh my god.
I don't know. Like, this was kind of the end of the episode. Nothing much else happened.
That's it.
But I will say though, what?
No, we didn't talk about the other. The ones I skipped.
To talk about.
Oh, the Quran stuff was interesting. Where they were talking about what's allowed in the Quran and what isn't.
As far as wives living in separate houses or living together, that was kind of interesting.
I did research on what they're actually quoting from the Quran. And so this is the quote from the Quranic verses on polygamy. It says, if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with the orphans, marry women of your choice, 2 or 3 or 4. But if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with them, then only one. And that's from Al-Nisa 4:3.
So it's like, if you're an asshole and can't handle it, don't do it.
Yes. But also,
Cody Brown, are you listening, Cody Brown?
But here's the interesting part. The context of this is in war. So basically that... It's suggesting that, like, you know, in war, if like a bunch of dudes die and there's women and children that are orphaned, basically that's the word they're using.
Right. You go then, and marry them.
Then go and marry them, because it was at a point in history where women couldn't fend for themselves without men. Right.
Okay.
So like, it makes sense because they wanted those people cared for. But like, so that's the whole context that it's in. So there's a lot of scholars, and this is, I went down the rabbit hole with this. So there's a lot of scholars that say, like, well, this is moot now because this was for a specific context, like where a bunch of women and children were left to fend for themselves. We shouldn't be doing polygamy anymore in Islam. And then other people are like, no. Like, this is actually like showing that in order to care for our fellow neighbor, like, we should be doing polygamy. And it says, like, it's not unlimited polygamy. It's up to 4 wives. And only if you can, like, actually treat them equally.
It's not mandating.
Right.
The so, principle of plural marriage. Like,
yeah. So it's like a very specific way that is expected to have plural marriage happen. So anyway, just very interesting.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you looking that up, because that's a new insight that I've learned today. And also,
we have Pastor Becca.
Right. And it makes perfect sense, though. I mean, if you really think about it, like, care for one another, take care. Now, of course, they're talking sex on another level, whatever, with wives. But I'm saying, like, looking after the, quote, poor women and children that can't fend for themselves. You know, like, I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
For back then,
obviously. Isn't that in the Bible, too?
Not.
Well, yeah. Caring for the widow and the orphan and that kind of. Yeah, for sure. But, like, but not polygamy. I mean, like, polygamy is in the Bible. Polygamy is in the Bible, just not connected to that concept. Just want to be clear.
Wait, so is that like the only part of polygamy in the whole Quran?
That's the one. Every time I kept searching, that's the only verse that kept popping up. So I don't know if there's other parts that like allude to it, but that's like the verse that specifically talks about it.
I see.
And that's the verse they talked about in that scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Did they get it right in the scene?
No.
So sort of. I mean, like they talked about the equal treating of wives, right? Yes. Like that they got correct of like the idea that like you shouldn't take more than one wife unless you can treat them equally and just. Right. And if not, like just have one.
right.
So they talked about that, but like it was interesting, like the argument around like you have to have separate households. Like I couldn't find anything that had anything like that. So
like the wife, because you missed it, you fast forward it, the wife Nyla or whatever. Was saying that she wants the woman to live in the you know, with them under the same roof.
Oh, okay.
Now the mom was saying
you have to have separate households. Yeah.
The Quran says you have to live in separate households if you're gonna practice polygamy or whatever.
And you can't find anything to support that. Maybe they're just bastardizing or twisting around the treat them equally part.
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe like there's just other verses I didn't find that like allude to that. But like this is the only like specific verse I could find about practicing polygamy in the Quran.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't think there's anything specific about that. So I think Nyla was right when she's like, no, it doesn't say that. It just says they have to be treated equally.
Yeah. But
also the whole context of polygamy in this verse is like war. So.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
It's a whole, like, again, context is important.
Right.
So.
But yeah, so that was very fascinating to watch that conversation, though. Like, you don't often see people on national television having an argument about verses in the Quran.
Like, yeah. So that is nice to see. Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Yes.
That's it then, right?
Because we didn't
see the Davises. We didn't get the planets.
Yeah, we see like the.
We didn't get the planets in alignment the week of the. The week of the.
We're about to see how much sun the new planet gets, right?
Exactly. Which, the rest of the season looks like it's pretty good because we see Danielle crying when Nick and the whole family want to start dating again or bring that up potentially. And then we see a girl come into the house to date and Danielle looked like she wanted to strangle a bitch. Excuse my language.
Oh yeah, the one getting in the hot tub.
Yeah,
I didn't understand what she said. I like reversed it and watched it like four times. She's like, "I'm going to recreate this household," and I was like,
"Yeah,
what is this?"
I was like, "What does that mean?"
I don't know. It doesn't. I was not getting good vibes from
maybe
the new chick, though.
She meant the way that I think I ultimately took it was she meant it as like. She was going to be the matriarch now, not what's her name, who's always adamant about being the matriarch. Everybody knows she's the first wife. She's the matriarch. That like there's certain there's definitely a hierarchy of wives, which is what you guys have alluded to as far as why Danielle might be having issues is because she is being delegated like last and not.
Then she should be happy to have a new sister wife coming in so she won't be lost anymore.
But yeah, maybe but it's even just, less time for her.
Yeah,
then.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, they all share the same bed except for the boom boom room. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Boom room. Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, I want to see that line in context. And I'm going to be really mad if they do that reality TV thing where they show a line and then don't show that later.
Don't show the actual scene.
Actual scene. Like, I'm going to be real mad because I want to know what the context for that is. Because I legitimately sit there being like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, we see Justin going on a date with some random chick who says she wants her man to be all hers.
So
why are you on a date with a polygamist?
Right. And then what else?
The Merrifields.
We talked about that. But yeah, where like Natalia isn't wearing the necklace and she's like, a lot has changed. And then you see this woman from Michigan being like, I'm Muslim, so I'm used to the idea of polygamy. And then like you see her on the couch and with Garrick and being like, God made this meant to be or something like that. And then actually delete the dating apps? I have questions.
I don't think
she probably slid into his DMs too.
You think?
Uh-huh.
Well, because like, I mean, I told you that I did, but I didn't. So
listen, one of us has got to slide into Garrick's DMs. I'm not doing it.
I'm not volunteering.
I do not volunteer. Not it.
Oh, you're the last. Nose goes. Nose goes, nope, Katrina.
Nope. Okay.
Want me to do it?
Anybody
do
wants
it.
To volunteer as tribute to slide into his DMs? No, you know what, though? That just reminded me. I had somebody contact me who said Danielle slid into her DMs.
No.
It was years ago. I'm suddenly remembering. I'm having this memory. Yeah. This woman,
which Danielle, the Garrick Danielle or the Nick Danielle?
Danielle of Garrick and Danielle had slid into her DMs asking if she was interested.
That was probably production asking Danielle to go on a mission to recruit people to be on the show. I'm kidding.
Could have been, but it also could legitimately have been Danielle. But then somebody else like responded and like they were able to like get some tea on it on like talking to her. Like, I don't know. It was like,
all right, I'm going to remove the podcast from my profile temporarily and I'm going to go on a mission.
Where's your Finsta? Don't you have a Finsta to do that with?
A what?
A Finsta? A fake Instagram?
Oh, yeah. But that, I mean, who's going to respond to a fake Instagram account?
Well, if you build your fake Instagram properly, then
I don't have time for that shit, Katrina. I'm just going to get on my real one and do it. I don't care.
Oh my God.
Nope. Here comes Alexis.
Yeah.
Just a little bit Alexis.
Not Garrick's type, though. I ain't going to go very far.
Well, I mean, maybe if you parade in a bikini, that's his thing.
Trust me, nobody wants to see that. But I will say,
Lexi's not really his type, though.
No,
he's not 21 Brazilian.
I have black hair in some of my pictures, though. Maybe I'll look like more like, you know,
Latina. So
you do speak Spanish.
That's true.
So my husband Will has a theory about Garrick.
I would love to hear this.
Wait, why haven't we included Will's theories before?
He talked about, it was funny because like he had mentioned it briefly in the last season when they were dating someone else briefly, like when Bert, on the outs with when Bert.
When this exact storyline repeated previously.
Yeah, it's literally the same plot. But and Will made some comment like, so he dated Bert and now he's dating this woman. Like, is he just trying to make the most diverse harem he can? And like, I totally forgot it until I saw that they were dating this young woman from Michigan who's also of color. And I was like, oh no, like maybe he is. Cause he's like, he's got like the white wife and then he's got the Brazilian wife and then he's got the
is it like his weird fucked up version of the arc where he feels like he has like this directive that he has to repopulate the earth with these specific racial women?
No, but it's something to consider since all the women, because the woman he dated last time was black and so of African descent, and so I'm like wondering, like, is he specifically seeking out different racial backgrounds for new wives?
You know how he's like a serial killers have, some of them have like checklists or like ideas of who they want to murder first. He probably has like a sex list where he's just going around checking off races. Like, I'm going to get this chick. I'm going to get this chick. Sick bastard.
Yeah. But like, I hadn't even thought about that until Will mentioned it.
But that is actually, that makes sense. For him, like it fits for him, it tracks for his weird mountaintop roses.
he was clearly
drinking rosé all day on that mountaintop.
But you know what, this chick's not gonna make it because she speaks English and so she's gonna understand all of his bullshit. Like, she's gonna be like, there's no translator app needed. She's gonna be like, this guy is
there's nothing I mean
psychotic.
Yeah, nothing's getting lost in translation. She's catching every bit of it.
Exactly.
I'm excited to like see that dynamic though.
Me too. Because
we've only seen them. I mean, they briefly dated someone from America, but she was there for like 2 seconds. Like she literally came out to visit and then it like didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So like I'm curious like if this woman sticks around a little bit, like what that looks like, because he's mostly dated not Americans.
Right.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. I mean, yeah, I feel like they're the only ones that are doing like really dating.
Yeah, they're trying hard.
Or no, Danielle, the Davises, the other Danielle. I feel like those are the only two families that have like legitimate relationships happening. Like, I feel like the Alamos, that's all bullshit. I feel like certainly the doctor and the axe thrower are bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is like, well, this something didn't work out, but we've got to fill airtime anyway.
I feel like Shane and Ashley, they should just be like, we have an open relationship. Like, forget the polygamy, whatever they're seeking. Just know you have an open relationship.
Yeah.
Sister-wife.
I was having this conversation with someone recently because, like, they don't fit the sister-wife thing. So I'm like, literally, they're just showing a model of, like, ethical non-monogamy.
Right. 100%,
which is fine, just not really this show.
right, which I would love to see more of, legitimate, actually, like somewhere between this show and Couple to Thruple, like some more legitimate, like dating, you know, like ethical non-monogamy dating shows would be, I'd be interested in actually seeing how that stuff goes down, because like when I hear stories from my like poly friends about their dating stuff, like it just, it's all fascinating to me, like, you know, who, you know, how the different dynamics work and what they are talking about before, you know, oh, he's talking to his people, I'm talking to my person, like, you know, we have to get the clearance and like just like the logistics and like all these things are just so much, you know,
that
just
sounds like so much work.
It does. It's like I am very, very, very much a monogamist. Like, I mean, if something were to ever happen and I was no longer married to TJ, like I would be open to other, to gender differences. Like, not, I wouldn't necessarily like need to find a man. Like, I'd be open to whatever, but I'm not open to ethical non-monogamy because I'm very much a monogamist, right? Like, so hearing about it and watching it is just fascinating to me because it's so not my own reality. That's why I love watching this stuff, watching Below Deck. It's like, this is so not my reality. Thank God for that.
Yeah, and I mentioned this before, but like going into learning about polygamy, I was very anti it at first because it's been very patriarchal and like blah blah blah, right? Like fill in the blank. But as I've started to watch and like see some couples that actually do it decently, which they've of course kicked all those off the show because they were not exciting TV.
right.
But like and you could say that some of them work because everyone is on board with the patriarchy, but that's a whole other conversation.
100%. Yeah.
But like, you know, now that I have a like little kid and we're a nuclear family and like I don't have a village helping me raise my child, I'm like, my tired ass would love to have some form of alternative family structure where like there's multiple people to help
child.
Yeah, and I'm not saying sister wives necessarily, but like maybe a full house situation where there's like a whole bunch of people living.
Right? There's a lot of adults and, you know,
like something. And so I'm like at the point where I'm like, I don't think the nuclear family is be all end all, friends. Like, I feel like there's got to be other structures that like work for people. So
That's why I'm so fascinated, like hearing about it. I mean, like, you know, I've got a few friends in the polygamy world, or not polygamy, but polyamory world, but not so many such that it's the norm by any stretch. And so I'm fascinated. I would love to see more of an actual, you know, how that actually works. Not necessarily done up for, you know, the hypes and the lulls, you know.
True. But it's just interesting. Like, I'm so much more open to the idea of different family structures than I think I would have been previously. Now, with that said, like, all of these are, the ones we're watching are pretty dysfunctional. Oh yeah, they make good TV.
Yeah, like, yeah, 100%.
Because I know like people who are actually like boring because it works are like doing different family structures and they're like functioning well.
Right, so. right, exactly. I mean, arguably, I have a different family structure in that, you know, I mean, we're divorced family, right? So my child has four parents because, you know, each of his parents, you know, me and his dad each remarried. Same thing with my stepdaughter. You know, she's got four parents. And, you know, so there's kind of a village there. You know, one of her four parents will, you know, should be available to do whatever it is that's necessary. And when she, you know, needs support or when we're rallying behind her, or whatever, she's got all four of us behind her, you know. And that, you know, and it was the same thing for, you know, my son, you know, we're pretty and really, really functional. My ex and I are really functional and his wife and I and all of it is really, really functional. So it was really good. And it turned, you know, worked into a really great, you know, family structure. And whereas like I would go to a place of my son's stepsister. Like, if that does that make sense, you know, mm-hmm. My ex-husband's wife's daughter from her first marriage, like would be in plays and stuff. And because of our family structure, like I would go watch them perform, you know, and things like that. And it's like very, some people might find that strange, you know, how are you related to them? But, it is great having that village, you know, you have all these people to support, you know, more people to love your kid. And I think it's great. And so I do hope you find some, because it's
some village.
Nice. Your village. Yes.
It'd be nice. I just think like, I don't know, nuclear families are just very isolating. And with the childcare crisis in America, which, you know, we've talked about, like having village, I'm sure Lexi can relate to,
As Kaya, we see Kaya's hand.
We see Kaya's arm.
I'm so overstimulated. My nervous system is on fire all day, every day.
Oh.
I can't get a break. Yeah, here. Yeah. Say hi, Kaya.
Hi, okay. Kaya.
Hi, Kaya.
Kaya, say hi.
Oh my God.
You're shy.
Can you say, okay, goodbye?
You say goodbye?
Can you end the show for us?
You say in the microphone?
Say aww. Thanks for listening.
You want to tell Pastor Becca how you say your prayers? No. Okay.
All right. Pray? And with that's that, cool. With that, you guys, we are out. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.